This is a very important message. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Please take note of our new mailing address. Please immediately redirect all your mail correspondence to our new address, Worldview Weekend, Worldview Weekend Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Again, our new mailing address, effective immediately, is Worldview Weekend Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Collierville is spelled Collierville.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. He's been away for a few months because he moved into, he moved in with his son. He and his lovely wife have moved in with Dr. Whitcomb's son, and they've gotten resettled, and he needed a little time to get all that done. And we're so glad to have Dr. Whitcomb back with us on today's program. Here we are, Tuesday, October 18th, 2016, and of course, that's the case if you're listening live. If not, it's, I don't know what day it is, because these programs are not dated. Because we're talking about the truth of God's Word, which is timeless. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. So I don't know what day it is for you if you're listening after the fact, but for us right now, at the time of broadcast, it's 1:02 Central Time, October 18th. What's the beautiful part, by the way, about our Situation Room? So many of the topics we discuss on radio and television are timeless, and that's by design. You know, we do cover some of the things going on. We want to be relevant, but we also want to make sure we're covering those things predominantly that will last forever. How many of you, by the way, are about fed up with the election and you're ready for it to be done? And I'm reading reports it's creating anxiety for people, and friends and family are fighting with each other. Well, isn't it wonderful that we can concentrate on something that brings us hope and peace and comfort? And that's part of what our broadcast is about today, asking Dr. John Whitcomb Bible questions that you have sent in. And I'll tell you where you can send your Bible questions as far as our email address goes in just a minute if you want to get a pen and paper. But let me welcome back to the program Dr. John. Dr. John, thanks for being back with us. We missed talking to you, my friend.
It's been a joy to trust the Lord for this opportunity once again to share with God's people everywhere the good news that there's a Savior. He knows what he's doing. His promises are valid and trustworthy, and we just put our hope in him. Praise God.
Absolutely. His website, by the way, folks, is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, here's the first question you guys have sent in. Why are there not any prophets today? Are people still able to speak prophetically today, Dr. Whitcomb?
Well, here's a question I think we can say emphatically, no. No prophets today. No one speaks prophetically. What do you mean? Why not? Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, his favorite disciple, you remember? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and been convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, that's the Bible, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So you see these writings, the scriptures, mainly here, of course, the Old Testament, had power. Listen, they were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation. Why? Are you ready for this? All scripture, that's the Bible, 66 books. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. My, what a book this is. Are we sure, though, that there are no prophets today? Well, listen to what Paul says about this in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. He says in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it'll be done away. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that someday these special supernatural gifts that God gave to the early church before the New Testament was finished had the recognition, the reminder that those special gifts will not go on forever. They'll cease. Well, you might say, well, when did they cease? Well, here's the important New Testament confirmation of this. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read this amazing statement. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? I believe the author of this book of Hebrews was probably Apollos of Alexandria, the eloquent Old Testament scholar. Listen to this. How should we escape? This is Hebrews 2, 3. How should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first, see that? At the beginning. Things were different then at the beginning. All kinds of sign miracles, remember? Spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. In other words, the author of Hebrews was not there then. God also bearing witness with them, not with us, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Do you see that? The author of Hebrews says those are things they heard. I haven't heard them. We're not hearing them now, he says. They were signs and wonders and miracles in those days. My, that's amazing, isn't it? Well, as a matter of fact, I must share with you, friends, I'm a little bit frightened by the people who say, well, I can speak directly from heaven. I have a prophetic gift. Oh, really? Listen to Revelation 22, verse 18. John says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Oh, may I share this? I made a decision. I don't think I'll do that. I've just decided I'm not going to add to the Bible. The Bible is absolutely sufficient, complete, final today, all 66 books. And we say, thank you, Lord, we don't have to listen to this prophet, that prophet. We just open the Bible and trust the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible to illuminate our hearts, give us the assurance of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, confirmed by his resurrection from the dead. We say, thank you, God. Thank you for a completed book. We don't need any more sign gifts or miracles or prophets today. The Bible is alone and sufficient. Thank you, God.
Amen to that. Here's the next one, Dr. Whitcomb. Does Satan know who the called ones are? Does he try harder to lead the called ones into sin in their youth to prevent them from coming to the Lord? Now, that's a very interesting question.
Yes. Now, of course, we know that Satan is constantly targeting people everywhere, especially believers. Really? What does he know about believers? Well, let's go back to one of the earliest books of the Old Testament, the book of Job. Here's something amazing about the book of Job. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now these sons of God in this verse refer to angels. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan said, from roaming around the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Now listen to this. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face." Ooh. Job knew a lot about, Satan knew a lot about Job, didn't he? In fact, he targeted him as one that he wanted to see destroyed. Now, friends, all through the Bible we find Satan attacking believers. Listen to Zechariah chapter 3, where the high priest at that time, just after the Babylonian captivity, by the name of Joshua, was being examined, challenged, scrutinized by Satan. Listen, Zechariah 3:1. "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him." Oh, my, standing at his right hand. And I say, well, no, really, is that what Satan can do? Can he actually accuse people in the presence of the Lord? Well, friends, we're really in a constant battle against Satan, that's for sure. You know, Ephesians talks about that, doesn't it? My, here's my marching orders. How about for you? Ephesians 6:10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against" what? "The schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the armies and soldiers." We have a grandson who's a fine military leader. My father was too, in the army. "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against mere human beings, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith." Now listen, "with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one," of Satan. My, you mean we're in some kind of a war against evil demons? Oh yes, evil angels called demons, and their master, Satan. And I say, Lord, I just didn't realize that that Satan has that kind of power. My, oh my. Well, how long will he have that kind of power? Well, are you ready for this? The book of Revelation tells us, friends, in chapter 12, verse 10, that in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, finally, Michael the archangel will be given power by God to cast Satan out of heaven. Now listen to this. Revelation 12, verse 10. "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren," that Satan, "has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." My, in the middle of the 70th week, God will empower Michael the archangel to cast Satan out of heaven. And I say, well, Lord, I'm just amazed at these things going on around us with invisible world. That's right. We're all concerned, aren't we, with people we can see? Yes. What about the ones we cannot see? Demons? Yes. Satan? Wow. May God help us. Put our faith in Jesus, who alone can protect us, guide us, help us, and bring us.
We'll be right back with Dr. John Whitcomb and Ask Dr. John. The second annual International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend is Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th, 2016. Last year, we had over 300 satellite locations where people were live streaming this conference with a group of people. You don't want to miss out on this year's second annual International Understanding the Times Conference, Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th. You can watch it on your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, live stream it to your television. It's a conference you can watch on the go, and it's for Situation Room members. It's one of the perks of being a Situation Room member. Not only do you get nearly $100,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, radio shows, TV shows, DVDs of our conferences, but you also get to live stream special events like this. It's featuring Shahram Haidian, former Muslim, lived in Iran. His daddy was a high-ranking military official. They escaped just before the fall of the Shah, and he is now a conservative Bible-teaching pastor exposing the dangers of Islam, Shahram Haidian. Ron Rhodes, he's the author of many books. Ron Rhodes is internationally known, an expert on world events and what's happening. We'll also have Chris Pinto, one of our most popular broadcast partners on Worldview Radio Network. Chris Pinto, Pastor Gary Gilley. Pastor Gary Gilley is an author and has a very successful website. All of these men will be speaking on major issues facing us today, but we'll be looking at them through the lens of the scripture. I mean, I'm talking about cutting edge topics. I've spent quite a bit of time talking to each of these individuals as to what their topic will be so that it is a major cutting edge issue that you're facing, that we're facing, that the world is facing, that we as Christians can look at through the lens of the scripture. Now, again, it's Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th. You want to register for it, be a part of it, find out more information about it, wvwtv.com/register. wvwtv.com/register. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Hey, you know, we're putting new articles and news stories up on our website each and every day, worldviewtimes.com, worldviewtimes.com. It's that easy. In fact, we just posted an article today. I guess we would be Delta and I, since Delta's the one laying in her bed next to my chair here in the office. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. You know, that's what the old saying. But so when I say we, I often say we, I mean me, but I don't like saying me. I don't like saying I, so I often say we, but it's me. I just posted an article not too long ago on the elections and a biblical response. And that's the great thing about our website. You not only get the daily news, what's happening in the world, in America and around the world, but Christian articles as well that then help us put some of this stuff into perspective. So I hope you'll check it out. Tell your friends about it, worldviewtimes.com. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb. We've done over 100 programs together called Ask Dr. John. It's your chance to send in your questions for Dr. Whitcomb. And the email to do that is info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. And we, over the years, have taken questions by email. We've taken questions by phone. We're kind of prone now to taking more and more of the questions by email, simply because that allows Dr. Whitcomb to get the questions in advance, to know what's coming, to be able to do the homework he wants to do and give you a very complete answer. You can see he gives very complete answers. And also, sometimes it's a little difficult with the phone lines for him to hear you. So, again, don't sit around waiting for the phone line thinking you'll ask your question then, because I'm not sure you're going to get that chance. Email it in, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. And we'll add your question to our list that we send on to Dr. Whitcomb, who took a break for a couple months to get resettled in his son's house. And now we're back to hopefully having a regular schedule of Ask Dr. John. Well, the next question, and by the way, his website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. You can hear his teaching and preaching program each week at worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. We carry his teaching program. And we also have his teaching program available to you through the VCY America Radio Network. I think it comes on at 7:30 on Sunday mornings, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. 7:30 Sunday mornings on the VCY America Radio Network. So he's 93, I think, now, and still producing programming. Pretty amazing, huh? Is that right, Dr. Whitcomb, 93?
92.
92. Why do I always want to, make you a year older? I don't know. I do that all the time. 92. All right.
Each year I get older.
Well, that's why I keep adding them. But I gotta quit adding a year ahead of what you really are. 92 is still producing programming, folks. Amazing. All right, here we go. Next one, Dr. Whitcomb. What did Jesus mean in John 6, verse 53? And I guess you'll read it to us, right?
Yes. This is not easy. In fact, thousands of people there, they were listening to Jesus in that great event in John 6, where he was on the sermon. They were greatly shocked when Jesus said these words. Are you ready? John 6, 53. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "are you ready for this? "And drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me." My, what does that mean? Well, friends, no wonder the many who heard him, verse 60, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" Now, friends, this is so typical of the Bible. Don't just take one statement out of context, isolated, and wonder what it means. When God, in his precious word by the Holy Spirit, has provided a context, parallel passages that give essential light on what God meant in certain statements he makes here and there that at first glance look hopelessly unbelievable. Now, here's a case in point. If you look a little bit earlier in this chapter, in John 6, back in verse 40, you read these words. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son of God and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Oh, really? Well, then, you mean we don't have to literally drink his blood? No. Eat his flesh? No, because what he said in verse 40 explains what he means here. He means if you believe in him, if you entrust yourself to him, if your heart is in him and his heart in you, by simple faith in what God says about the finished work of Jesus Christ, his Son on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, you will have what? Eternal life. And what's going to happen? You'll be raised up on the last day. So you see, if you don't take the passage in context, it's not completely understandable. That's a principle all through the Bible. Don't just focus on one verse. Look at the parallel passages. And I say, "Well, Lord, that takes extra time." Right. That's why Bible study is not something you can do in 5 minutes. No, it's a dedication to opening your heart and mind to everything God says about everything. You say, "Well, that'll take my whole life." Yes, it certainly will. Our life is in him, and by him, the blessed Holy Spirit, we are illuminated, enlightened, and we are confident in our heart of hearts that we know the Lord and have sufficient knowledge of him to look forward to resurrection and glory in heaven with him forever. Thank God for his word.
Absolutely. And thank you for covering that question, one that the Catholics use over and over and over to defend the false teaching of transubstantiation within the Catholic Church. Dr. Whitcomb, thank you so much. His website, again, folks, is whitcombministries.org. Well, here's the next question someone has sent in. And again, you can send in your questions for the next program, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. The next question is this: my church is dividing over personalities and other non-biblical issues. How can I help bring about positive change in this situation?
Oh, dear, it's just so sad. The body, the bride of Christ, the church of our Savior, is in many, many situations today around the world, division, controversy, personality conflicts, and that was true right from the beginning of the church. Even when the Apostle Paul was there, listen to the church that he helped establish in Corinth in southern Greece today. Listen to this. He said, I've been informed concerning you, brethren, that there are quarrels among you. There are what? Quarrels among you, Christians, disagreeing with each other, hassling with each other. Now, what do you mean by that? Verse 12. Now, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, as Peter. And listen to this one, I of Christ. Really? You mean you have divisions in the church, each group trying to say we are the special ones, and the rest of you people in this church don't have that position that we have? Really? Verse 13, has Christ been divided, Paul says? Paul was not Christ crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for giving Paul the courage to confront this divisive spirit within that church, personalities. And, you know, that was true in almost all those churches back then. And you remember what was going on in Philippi, don't you? One of Paul's favorite supporting churches. He said, I urge Euodia, that's Philippians 4:2. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. They're squabbling. They're dividing the church. And so indeed, true comrade, he said, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord, I say rejoice. Now you see, friends, there's one problem with churches today. We still have a sin nature, every one of us. And especially under satanic temptation, we can be led into divisive spirit. I am a special member of this church, and I don't want to have anything to do with that person over there. Oh, really? Well, then, what can I do to bring positive change to this situation? Well, praise the Lord, there's an effective way to handle it. Are you ready? Now, this is not easy. The last chapter of the book of James, you remember the half-brother of Jesus? James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Don't set yourself up against each other. Confess your sins to one another. And do what? Pray for one another so that you may be healed. What do you mean, pray for one another? Are you ready? Here's one of my favorite statements in the New Testament. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. There's the answer. Lord, I can't argue with people, fight against people, but I know the Holy Spirit can change people's hearts, and therefore I pray fervently and therefore effectively as a righteous man, that is a born-again saved person, can accomplish what? Much. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer. Saving prayer, yes. And prayer for the sanctification as here for growth in the Lord and love one for another that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish in our hearts. So, friends, there is an answer, isn't there, to bring about a positive change in every situation we face in every church we've ever belonged to or ever visited. Thank God for that provision.
Absolutely. That's the voice of Dr. John Whitcomb, and he, again, is our guest frequently as we produce these programs called Ask Dr. John. His website is proclaiming the gospel. I just got done post-editing the most recent TV show of Mike Gendron. Literally right before we went on the air, I turned from the big IMAX screen to this microphone. And when I'm done, I'll turn back to the IMAX screen and start editing on another TV show. And the one I was editing was Mike Gendron, whose website is proclaimingthegospel.org. But Dr. Whitcomb's is WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, that's his website. And Mike Gendron got a free plug today. WhitcombMinistries.org. And I will be putting up the TV program by Mike Gendron here in just a few seconds when we get off the air at 2 o'clock Central Time. And then I'll go to editing on the next NoCo TV as Mike Abendroth teaches through the book of Revelation. So many websites, so many shows, so many names to keep track of. I'll be right back.
Four clubs for the price of one. That's what's going on now at SituationRoom.net. We just added WorldviewTraining.com as one of the new clubs as part of your membership. At WorldviewTraining.com, you can take biblical worldview classes, and we'll be adding new classes on a regular basis. Check out these classes now. Worldviews 101, Biblically Refuting the False Teaching of the Word of Faith. Grave Influence, 21 Radicals and Their Worldviews Ruling America from the Grave. Confronting the Spiritual Confusion of the Day, Creation versus Evolution, Religious Trojan Horse of False Teaching. These are just some of the classes you can take, and they include many teachers, including Ron Carlson, Ken Ham, myself, Brandon House, Justin Peters, and many others. We're adding classes regularly, and guess what? It's a part of your Situation Room membership. It's worldviewtraining.com. You watch a video in one window, fill out a worksheet in another. Not only do you get the worldviewtraining.com as part of your membership, you also have access to myworldview.com, which is our biblical worldview social media page. You also get the membership to Worldviewpedia, our biblical online worldview and Bible software program. Check it out, worldviewpedia.com, myworldview.com, worldviewtraining.com, and situationroom.net. Four clubs for the price of one. Now about $110,000 in resources on demand. We could easily charge $75 a year per club, but nope, I've rolled them all into one. Updated them, put in new classes, new technology, four clubs for the price of one for just $8.99 a month. $8.99 a month. Get a membership if you don't have one. Give your email address and password to anybody in your immediate family that lives in your household, or if they're away at college, that's fine. And your entire family can enjoy all four of these clubs for just $8.99 a month or $89.99 a year. Check it out, won't you? SituationRoom.net/join. SituationRoom.net/join. But in the meantime, why don't you check out our new biblical worldview class, worldviewtraining.com. Multiple biblical classes you can take right now at worldviewtraining.com as a part of your membership. So check them out individually if you'd like. MyWorldview.com, WorldviewTraining.com, SituationRoom.net, and WorldviewPedia.com. But when you join, you get all four for the price of one. Join today, won't you? It's not only great for your family, but it's a big part of our general operating budget. So thank you for joining right now at SituationRoom.net/join.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And I just have to tell you again, folks, there are things that I put out regularly on Facebook and Twitter that I do not put on our main website. I don't know why. I guess because it's just so easy to tweet some things out, throw some things up on Facebook real fast. But if you are not following us on Twitter or Facebook, you can at facebook.com/worldviewweekend. facebook.com/worldviewweekend. You want to follow me on Twitter. twitter.com/WVW online. twitter.com/WVW online. If you know how the Twitter handle works, my handle is at WVW online. Dr. John Whitcomb's our guest. WhitcombMinistries.org is his website. WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, Dr. John, here's the next question. Were there people saved at the time of the flood who did not get on the ark? How come we have not found their bones?
Very amazing question. Now, let's get the background for this, please. for 120 years while that ark was being built. What was Noah doing? Listen to this. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a what? A preacher of righteousness with seven others. That's his wife and three sons and their wives, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So what was Noah doing? You say he was building the ark. Yes, but the main thing he was doing was he was preaching the word of God. And you know, God's word does not return void. God's word is not ineffective. In my personal opinion, many people, who knows how many, maybe perhaps thousands, were saved even if they could not get in the ark. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, well, friends, listen to this. When the flood came upon the earth and began to rise higher and higher, people everywhere saw these animals moving into the ark, and they said to themselves, Noah was right. I believe in God. Well, could they get in the ark? No. You mean they were doomed to die? Yes. But it's never too late to make a choice, to make a decision, to turn your heart to God. And I say, now, just a minute here. Just a minute here. You mean right at the end of your very life, within hours, you can be saved before you die? Oh, yes. I'm so thrilled by what God tells us in Luke chapter 23. Listen to this, verse 40. One of the two thieves crucified next to Jesus said to the other thief, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man, that speaking of Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, what? Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. You are saved. You are born again. You can't survive. You're going to die. But you're born again. And so, friends, I say, that's amazing. Last-minute conversions. But here's the word of warning. Don't wait until the last hour. How do you know what your last hour or your last minute really is? Don't take unfair advantage of that gracious provision of the Lord. But I do believe that several thousand people probably believed in the gospel as Noah preached it and were saved. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that possibility. Now, somebody asked, well, where do we find visible evidence of these people? That is skeletons, bones, you know, fossils and so forth around the world. And this is not an easy one either, but creation scientists have worked on this subject for years and have discovered that probably over 95% of all fossils in the world are marine creatures, billions of them, in fact, trillions. Smashed, buried, fossilized everywhere, and only the animals and air-breathing animals, you see, that survived long enough to reproduce. I say, no, wait a minute here. Tell me again what this means. The animals that are air breathers today are very rare in the fossil record. Whether we can find human fossils, we're not sure. I'm sure that somebody has come across evidence of that, but I can't specify those things in detail, except to say that somehow God preserved for us in the fossil record the amazing dynamics of the deluge that destroyed hundreds of millions, yes, billions, of once-living creatures. The Genesis flood that covered the entire world in the days of Noah. Friends, what an astounding revelation from God.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. And by the way, folks, they're still coming in. info@worldviewweekend.com if you want to get your question in, because they're coming in right now. Questions coming in. Some of them I've just forwarded on. Some of them have been in my inbox for a while, and I just forwarded them on to Dr. Whitcomb. So if you want to get your question in, it's info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. All right, here's the next one, Dr. Whitcomb. What do you think of the Ark encounter in Kentucky?
Oh, my. What an amazing place that is. Just 40 miles south of where the Creation Museum is located in southern Cincinnati. An exact replica of Noah's Ark has been constructed. It was my privilege to be there for the occasion on July 5th when the ribbon was cut that opened, as it were, the door of the Ark to people to come in. And only those who had contributed financially to the building of the Ark were invited for that ribbon-cutting event. How many people showed up? 7,000 people. Oh, my. I could hardly believe that. And so since then, over 300,000 people have been to see there. And that has caused the museum, which is 40 miles to the north, to have twice as many people as it used to have. That Ark, friends, is the largest wooden structure in the world. Many Amish carpenters came down from northern Indiana, where they are experts in handling wood constructions, and carefully, skillfully put that gigantic thing together. I was amazed to see that Ark. And we hope someday, friends, you'll make a special effort to go there. Remember, 40 miles to south of Cincinnati. And I say, just amazing. Now, wait a minute here. Guess who else showed up? A delegation of atheists. Really? They were graciously handled? Yes, the Ark Project was protected from somebody throwing a bomb into it or something. And they were given the gospel. And one of the most famous of the atheists, you've probably heard about this, Bill Nye, N-Y-E, Bill Nye, the science guy, who debated Ken Ham about this Ark, about the flood, about creation, a couple of years ago, February the 4th, 1914. 20 million people have seen the video of that debate. And so recently, Ken Ham graciously led Bill Nye and his camera crew through the Ark and explained these things step by step. And he was so gracious. You know, if you want to learn about that Ark and what it's doing, what's happening there and so forth, why don't you just use this information, answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org, and they'll send you information about all these things that may be of interest to you and your friends. So I say, well, God, thank you that good things are happening there. And I was just so thankful to have a little part in offering the a prayer a couple years ago of God's protection in the building of this massive structure. Praise God.
Excellent. And I hope to go over there to see it myself someday soon. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, here is the next question. What do you think the Reformers would say of the church today? I think we're going to be celebrating the official Reformation this month, 499 years after the Reformation began, next year 500, and I know a lot of the ecumenical crowd are planning big ecumenical events with the Church of Rome, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, that we all come back together. The protest is over. The protest of Luther is over. It's time we all come together. That's going to be a big deal. They're really pushing on that for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation next year. But now we're 499 years after. What do you think the Reformers would say of the church today? I guess maybe evangelicalism, because we know the church is the church, and there's a lot of people who say they're part of the church who aren't because they're not believers. So maybe the question better phrased would be, what do you think the Reformers would say about the real church, and then what do you think the Reformers would say about evangelicalism today?
Yes. Now, that, of course, is a very hard question to answer. But I think, number one, they would be disappointed because the ritualism that Luther almost died to to reject. The just shall live by faith, Habakkuk 2:4 says. That's the key. That's the dynamic of salvation. Not by works, not by rituals, not by keeping various kinds of ordinances and so forth. No, that's not how you're saved. You're saved by faith, Habakkuk 2:4. Confirmed in Romans 1:16 and Galatians 3:11. Paul says over and over again, saved by faith, not by works, no. Even good works, no. Even church works, no. By faith in what God has said in his precious, infallible word, the Bible. So ritualism, you see, still dominates the so-called Christian world today. Now, thank God for the exceptions. Now, here's the opposite. Are you ready for this one? I think they'd be amazed to be here today and find that there are millions of Christians who believe there's a hope for Israel. Now, there were Luther and Calvin and Knox and Zwingli and the Reformers did not look upon Jewish people very lovingly, did they? They hated the Jews, and that's understandable. Absolutely sad how the Jewish people rejected their Savior with rare exceptions and crucified him. But wait a minute. The Bible says now there's something coming that will be totally different. You know, I was a soldier there in Germany in 1944 and 45. And we saw the concentration camps, and 6 million Jews died in the hands of Hitler and the Nazis. But guess what, friends? There are now 6 million Jews back in Israel. Really, something great is about to happen. And God, therefore, means what he said, that he's going to save the nation of Israel. He's going to do what? Well, friends... This is the thing that is so amazing. God has a plan for his chosen people.
In fact, hold it right there, Dr. Whitcomb. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dr. Whitcomb. And how do I teach dispensationalism to people who are just now growing in their faith?
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you appreciated all of our free radio shows? How about our free television programs? How about our free app for iPhone, iPad, and Android? Or how about the free Worldview Weekend Roku channel? If you appreciate our broadcast ministries of radio and television, would you partner with us with a tax-deductible contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation? It's vital that we hear from you so we can continue to distribute free biblical radio and television programs. As you know, we always make our radio shows and television shows available for free to anyone that wants to listen to them or watch them on a global scale. And then after a few days, they do roll into the Situation Room. But we always make them available for free. In fact, making them available for free like that costs us many thousands of dollars in bandwidth that we must pay for. Your partnership through the Worldview Weekend Foundation is vital. Would you go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com right now and make a contribution? That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The shorter URL is wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you'll find our mailing address there on that website at wvwfoundation.com. You can also give with a credit card over the phone through our secure voicemail line, which is 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. Thank you.
Welcome back, Worldview Weekend Radio, website worldviewradio.com. Hope you're marking your calendar now for Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th. The live streaming international Understanding the Times conference. Myself, Sharam Hadian, Ron Rhodes, Gary Gilley, Chris Pinto. You can see all the title, talks, and descriptions right now at vwtv.com/register. You can also see them at worldviewtimes.com. It's one of the featured headline articles right now at worldviewtimes.com. Worldviewtimes.com, one of the featured articles right now, shows you the title and the descriptions of each talk right now at worldviewtimes.com. www.vvwtv.com. Then if you want more details on registering for it, www.tv.com/register, www.tv.com/register. Starts on Friday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, November 4th. You can watch on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android, your computer. We had over 300 satellite locations last year. And you'll be able to ask your questions after each 45-minute keynote presentation. You can email in your questions, and I will go to the news desk and start asking your questions to the keynote speaker for 15 minutes. It's going to be a great opportunity for a lot of you to participate. Open your home, bring people in, or just watch yourself. www.tv.com/register. Dr. Whitcomb, we're going to have you pick it up where we left off, what you think the reformers would say about evangelicalism and the church or the state of the church today. We'll let you pick it up, and then we'll go to our last question.
I think they'd be absolutely shocked to discover that God has a plan for Israel. Yes, they did not believe that, really. That's amazing, isn't it? But what does God say about this? Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then that they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, that's the Jews, salvation has come to the Gentiles, that's you and me mostly, to make them jealous. And so he goes down to say that God has taken some of those Jewish people and use them as an example of God's warnings, and God spared not the natural branches. God says in verse 21, that's the Jewish people, but he is going to use them to provoke the Gentiles to believe what they rejected. Now listen to this, Romans 11:25. I do not want you to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, you Gentile Christians. That includes the reformers, doesn't it, Luther? That a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus what? All Israel will be saved. All Israel. Just as is written, and there's a quote from Zechariah and Isaiah, the deliverer will come from Zion and will remove ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So God has already, back in the book of Isaiah, prepared us to believe that God does have a plan for his people Israel. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, yes, but from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For example, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So I say, well, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, verse 33. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable what his ways. So I say, friends, be careful here. God does have a plan for Israel. And I say, thank you, Lord, that someday, somehow, you're going to bring that people that crucified Jesus, your son, to a saving knowledge of him, and that they might be witnesses, starting 144,000 of them, from 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, evangelizing the Gentile world during the tribulation period. And I say, thank you, God, for this promise and this provision by your grace, according to your plan for salvation.
All right, Dr. Whitcomb, just a couple minutes left, so we'll have to get this one in quickly. How do I teach dispensationalism to people who are just now growing in their faith? We might need to even define dispensationalism, Dr. Whitcomb.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear now. Just a moment.
Let me ask that again. Last question. How do I teach dispensationalism to people who are just now growing in their faith?
Oh, yes, thank you. All right. When Christians are confronted with the complexities of the Bible, all 66 books, you wonder, well, what's the most important thing? Well, of course, how to be saved, how to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's dispensationalism then? What's that mean? It means that there's a difference between, for example, Israel and the church. We don't do the things the Jews did. We don't go to an altar in a temple with a priest, you see. There's a new arrangement, a new body, a new organism, the body and bride of Christ. Now, that's a foundational dispensational distinction, isn't it? We don't belong to the dispensation of Israel. And someday, God is going to bring Israel back, isn't he? Yes, at the time when the rapture takes place and the church is removed from this earth, my, what changes will take place. God will bring that nation back through the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And God wants Christians to understand, as they're growing in their faith, this blessed hope. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Why, what a hope. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that's Christians who've died, that you may not grieve as to the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus who've died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Listen to this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now listen. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, friends, we desperately need comfort, don't we? Encouragement. There is hope. And so God says, just prepare for something big that's about to happen, that it's going to change. So we pray that prayer, don't we? Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, 9 and 6. Our Father who art.
Absolutely. Sorry I had to cut Dr. Whitcomb. We're out of time. Thanks, Dr. Whitcomb. Website, WhitcombMinistries.com. Take care.
It has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
The second annual International Understanding the Times Worldview Weekend is Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th, 2016. Last year, we had over 300 satellite locations where people were live streaming this conference with a group of people. You don't want to miss out on this year's second annual International Understanding the Times Conference, Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th. You can watch it on your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, live stream it to your television. It's a conference you can watch on the go, and it's for Situation Room members. It's one of the perks of being a Situation Room member. Not only do you get nearly $100,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, radio shows, TV shows, DVDs of our conferences, but you also get to live stream special events like this, featuring Shahram Haidian, former Muslim, lived in Iran. His daddy was a high-ranking military official. They escaped just before the fall of the Shah, and he is now a conservative Bible-teaching pastor, exposing the dangers of Islam, Shahram Haidian. Ron Rhodes, he's the author of many books. Ron Rhodes is internationally known, an expert on world events and what's happening. We'll also have Chris Pinto, one of our most popular broadcast partners on Worldview Radio Network. Chris Pinto, Pastor Gary Gilley. Pastor Gary Gilley is an author and has a very successful website. All of these men will be speaking on major issues facing us today, but we'll be looking at them through the lens of the scripture. I mean, I'm talking about cutting edge topics. I've spent quite a bit of time talking to each of these individuals as to what their topic will be, so that it is a major cutting edge issue that you're facing, that we're facing, that the world is facing, that we as Christians can look at through the lens of the scripture. Now, again, it's Friday night, November 4th, Saturday, November 5th. You want to register for it, be a part of it, find out more information about it, wvwtv.com/register. wvwtv.com/register.